How do you do? Have you ever wandered through an old neighborhood once familiar but now made foreign by all kinds of change? With old landmarks gone, it's easy to feel confused and saddened, easy to get lost. Well, that happened to the two brothers in this story. Each experienced an identity crisis in life at about the same time, wondering, who am I? Where am I going, and why am I here? Each identified the answer in his own way when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories that share the good news, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Nobody likes to admit defeat. Not even street people who cannot provide the next meal or change of clothes, who have no place to sleep that's clean and safe. Many come to Pacific Garden Mission wanting to change their lives, but not knowing how. Folks at the old lighthouse know the answer, though, and are eager to share. They know that the first step is to admit defeat, to face the failures and ask for help in changing them. And help is given at the mission, with food, clothing, and a safe place to sleep, as well as medical and dental care, and all without charge. And those who want new life receive that too, as pastors bring light into the darkness, the truth that sets them free. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2455 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Rose, can you believe it?
No, I had no idea this would happen. Why didn't the doctor tell me we were having twins?
What'll we name them? The hospital needs to fill out the records.
I don't know. Where will we put them? We only have one baby bed.
We'll have to get another.
We'll have to get more of everything. Twice the diapers. Wait till Mom and Dad find out.
What about David? We talked about naming a boy David.
What about the middle name?
Oh, never mind a middle name. We'll use the initials.
We can name the other one Larry.
They look exactly alike, Rose. How will we tell them apart?
There has to be a way. We'll look for the differences.
The men in our story were born in the suburbs of Philadelphia in 1963. As twins, each struggled to achieve a sense of self, not an easy task when one is constantly mistaken for another. This is the first of a two-part story, the true story of David and Larry Silver. We'll let them tell how they were unshackled.
What's the most vivid memory you have from childhood, Dave?
Oh, well, climbing up Mom and Dad's dresser. When I got to the top, it started swaying and fell on top of me. As they rushed me out of the door to the hospital, I remember looking back and seeing you and Mike going barefoot in the snow to the neighbor's house.
That was your introduction to medicine, you clumsy oaf.
Sure was. After the doctor sewed me up, he asked if I could move my toes, and I said no. Mom burst into tears and ran out of the room. She thought I was paralyzed. I told the doctor no one had ever taught me to wiggle my toes. So he showed me how.
I remember being in kindergarten, and some kid bashed me over the head with a toy. I stood there bawling until you bashed him back. My protector. I hated it when they separated us in first grade.
It was a wise thing to do, though, Larry. Made us both more self-sufficient.
Yeah, but I was lost without my big brother.
Big brother? I'm all of 2 minutes older than you.
Hey, I remember Hebrew school. The firstborn has a lot more responsibility.
How can you remember Hebrew school? We didn't even finish after grandmother died.
Yeah. I remember Mom standing outside watching to make sure we went. Funny how time changes things. She's the one who later insisted that we be allowed to choose our own religion.
I'm going back to college to get my degree. I'd like to get involved in social work.
What about the boys?
What about them? They're big enough to take care of themselves when I'm gone.
Can't you wait till they have their bar mitzvah?
Oh.
We postponed it because of your mother's death. They need to finish that.
What's so important about a bar mitzvah?
It's part of our heritage, Rose.
Times change, and so do people. Look at our parents. They kept a kosher house. We don't bother.
Why do you argue about something so fundamental?
I'm not arguing. I'm discussing. All I'm saying is rituals don't a person make. What counts is how you live your life.
It's our traditions that make us what we are.
Ugh.
Jews keep Passover and other high holidays. Jewish boys are bar mitzvahed. Stephen was, and the other boys should be too.
Why? Why? We don't even bother to go to the synagogue anymore.
Because you're more interested in other faiths.
The Baha'i faith is really special. They seek peace and oneness with all mankind.
I wish you wouldn't take the boys with you.
It's part of their education. Why shouldn't they know about other beliefs?
I'm tired of arguing about it.
Why don't we leave it up to the boys whether or not they go through the bar mitzvah?
So we never had our bar mitzvah. Getting an education was always more important than religion. Maybe that's why Dad was a teacher. We were expected to excel, and did. I remember how we ran for office in the 8th grade. I conceded to let you run for president, Dave, while I ran for vice president. Then we got into music. You on guitar, me on the drums. That's when we began spending more time with the neighbors on the corner.
Hey, Larry. I'm learning to tell you two guys apart.
Hey, we may look alike, but inside, we're not at all the same. Dave's more quiet. He wants to be a doctor.
And you don't?
Nah. I like talking to people, though. Like your parents. They sure are easy to talk to.
Your folks seem really nice, too.
They quarrel a lot.
They probably need to get high. You ever tried pot, Larry?
No. My folks would have a fit.
I don't get high very often, but it's a lot of fun.
Hey, here comes Dave. Better not tell him about that. He's pretty straight.
Where have you boys been?
At the Stearns.
You spent the night there?
We always stay up late anyway, Mom. We were just talking.
Sandy, come here. I can't believe it.
Our grades are good. We're both in the top of our class.
I know your grades are good. I'm more concerned about other influences.
Oh, come on, Mom. They're Jewish, too. They think like we do.
Then what is there to talk about?
Are you kidding? We talk about everything. Jules and Dave and I are going to start a band.
Oh, Sandy! Sandy, I wish you'd come in here and act like a father. The boys need discipline.
Oh, what's the problem?
They're spending too much time at the neighbors and you don't even care. I get tired of being always the one who makes the rules. Tell them they should be home by midnight, even on weekends.
Oh, come on.
Why do I even bother? Nobody listens to me. Nobody cares what I say or do. I might as well move out.
Mom and Dad didn't realize we were avoiding the tension at home. Tension caused by arguments that came more often with Mom threatening to leave. I felt disillusioned with life. Began experimenting with alcohol and drugs. We formed our band, joining forces with another group to compete in the high school Battle of the Bands.
Larry, Dave said you won first place last night.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah.
We did songs from the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, and a bunch of others.
I'm proud of you boys.
We're pretty good. Maybe we can cut a record someday. The Stearns think we can.
Never mind them. You get an education first. It's far more important.
Hey, there's a lot of money in the music business, Mom.
Why don't you call me Rose? You're old enough.
You'll always be Mom to me. But if that's what you want...
You know, I've always encouraged you boys to be open and honest with me, so please answer me truthfully, okay? Are you doing drugs?
I don't think Dave does, but I've dabbled in them a little now and then.
I was afraid of that. What is it about rock music? Sandy!
Hey, don't get uptight, Mom. It's just a social thing to do. So don't blame the music. There's no way I'd get addicted to that stuff.
Ha! That's what they all say. You get yourself into a drug rehabilitation group right away.
All right, what is it?
Our son is doing drugs.
Oh, that's absurd. I'm not a drug addict.
That's why you lost that job as a stock boy, isn't it?
No. I lost the job because I had a bad attitude.
Drugs do that. You're going to rehab, and that's final.
Hey, Larry, are you still doing that drug rehab group?
Yeah, it's pitiful, man. I don't fit in at all.
What do?
They sit around and talk about their experiences. Most of those kids are neglected dropouts. And there I am.
Mr. Straight A Student, Vice President of the National Honor Society.
I really dig the heavy discussions, though. You should hear some of the stories they tell about abuse and drunken parents. What's happening to our world?
People just do their own thing these days, that's all.
Yeah, but look what they do to others in the process. I mean, those kids have no purpose in life. They just try one thing after the other.
You should talk, Larry.
Yeah, well, I haven't found my niche yet, but I have a purpose. I'm going to be a multimillionaire.
You and I were competing with each other a lot by then, Larry, and the mood at home didn't help. Once, when Mom told me she was going to divorce Dad, I ran outside crying to you for support, but you rejected me, calling me names. My heart hardened after that, and I resolved to never let myself be hurt like that again.
I guess I was in denial. I didn't want to see them split up either. I was hurting inside too, hoping it wasn't true, but it was.
Well, boys, I don't quite know how to tell you this.
Tell us what, Dad? What's wrong?
Your mother has left us.
What?
She packed her suitcase this morning and just left.
Where did she go? Why did she leave us?
She's staying with Aunt Evelyn.
Is she coming back?
I'm not sure. She hasn't been happy with many things for a while. She felt that we didn't assume enough responsibilities for household chores or really listen to her. We've talked about it, but I didn't think she'd really leave.
She used to talk with Dave and me, too. I didn't pay attention to what she was complaining about or her threats to leave. In fact, one day I got so angry that I just shouted at her and said, "Go ahead and leave."
What are we going to do, Dad? How can we manage without her?
We'll just have to work together. We'll manage somehow. Excuse me, boys. I need to be alone.
I can't believe Mom left us. Do you think she's coming back?
To tell you the truth, I don't much care anymore.
In a moment, we'll hear more about that from David and Larry Silver. Would you like to help someone who's struggling with adversity? Maybe that someone is you or a friend or family member. Well, we've published a number of these true testimonies in booklet form, and we'd like to send you a packet free for the asking. Just write and let us know what subjects would be most helpful, and we'll try to send you stories that deal with those issues. Each booklet tells the complete story as originally broadcast on Unshackled, and each booklet ends with a clear presentation of the gospel with appropriate scripture. Anyone can read and understand how to find salvation. Anyone who reads the booklet will see the difference Christ makes when he comes into someone's life. No matter how big or complex the problem, these testimonies reveal that he is the answer. So don't be shy about asking for a packet of booklets. Even if you've already received some, we'd be happy to send you more. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
I guess I was mostly angry when Mom and Dad split up, Larry. I just wanted to get away from the pain.
At least we didn't fall apart, you know, the way some kids do when their parents divorce.
Oh, I don't know about that. I remember how you tore up your speech in front of the National Honor Society Assembly.
I was just trying to make a point, Dave.
And when you went to that Christian college, were you just trying to make a point?
No, I was just trying to make tuition. And they gave me a scholarship.
I wasn't about to go to the same college you went to, so I was definitely making a point.
Yeah, our lives really began to diverge from then on.
Man, I guess so, Larry. I jumped right into the party scene at college.
Come on in and have a beer, Dave. It'll clear your mind.
Thanks, Dwayne. I needed that.
You've discovered my hideout. The girls' room? Where else? I'd live here if they'd let me.
I couldn't concentrate on the books if I lived here.
Who cares about books?
Do enough to get by is my motto.
Otherwise, it's party time!
I'd like to get into medical school, so I have to keep my grades up.
And you have to keep your reputation up, too, you know. Playboy extraordinaire!
You think that looks good on a resume, huh? The selection committee really goes for that.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's ditch these guys and go over to that frat house. There's a great party in progress.
It's funny, Dave. While you took a dive into parties, I was hungry for intimate conversation. By then, I knew that alcohol and drugs were not the answer. Guess I was grappling with the meaning of life. I ended up having regular sessions with a counselor, just so I could have a mature discussion of life.
Larry, dreams can be a reflection of what's going on inside. Is that why you ask about dream interpretation?
I'm taking a class called Search for Self, and we were told to write down our dreams. I had this incredible one about Jesus, how I killed him with a spear and then went to pay my respects to his mother. I was afraid to face them, but they forgave me, and I received their forgiveness, humbly, which is not like me. Well, suddenly, I felt like Jesus, with his power. As I walked to a construction site, people flocked to me, realizing the power I had. Many lives were changed instantly.
Do you want to change your life?
I want to understand it more. I don't want to die without knowing why I lived.
You've mentioned death several times. I'm concerned that you may be contemplating suicide.
No way. No. It's just that, well, nothing is more important than knowing who we are and why we're here. And I'm no longer sure about the answers. I mean, I'm a Jew, and God gave me certain gifts. But why? What am I supposed to do with my life?
Hello?
Dave, what a racket, and there must be a party.
All the time, Larry. What's up?
I wanted to tell you about my new job. I'm a DJ on the weekends.
A DJ? On radio?
No, at special events. I spin records and entertain the crowd. I love it.
I'll bet you do. Does it pay well?
$40 an event.
Wow.
I think I found my niche. Man, how do you study with all that noise?
I don't.
I'm having a hard time concentrating myself. I met a girl who really turns me on.
Hey, be careful, Larry.
Hey, you too, big brother. Better find a quieter fraternity.
Larry was right. But I had already decided to join a different fraternity. One where I could study more. One that my friend Dwayne had joined. He had changed a lot during that first year. More considerate and joyful. And I was curious about his transformation. One day, he and another guy spoke at a meeting, proclaiming themselves to be Christians. They offered to discuss their decision with anyone who was interested, and I was.
I'm really glad you wanted to hear what we had to say, Dave.
You are so different, Dwayne. I was curious about the cause.
I discovered that the Bible is true.
What does the Bible have to say?
Well, God says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God.
I'm a sinner.
And sin separates man from God.
I feel separated from God. Are you going to tell me that Jesus is God? Because last year I went to church with a girlfriend for the first time in my life, and I heard the pastor say, Jesus is Lord. I almost fell off the pew. I asked my friend if Lord meant God, but she didn't know.
That's what it means. Jesus Christ is God the Son, who came to die for our sins so we could be forgiven.
I sure never heard that in Hebrew school.
Did you ever read Psalm 118, verse 22?
No.
The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. That stone is Jesus, the Rock of Ages. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
You think that's Jesus?
Yes, it is. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 tell us, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Whoa, this is all new to me. I'll have to think about this and get back to you.
This is a life and death issue, Dave.
What they said was interesting, but I didn't dwell on it. I had more important things on my mind, like getting into medical school. As freshman year was ending, I interviewed for the position of resident assistant in the dorm. My room was next to the hall director, who had become a friend.
Hi, Dave. How's it going?
Great! They offered me the assistant's job.
I know. I recommended it for the position, Dave. But I don't think you should accept it.
Why?
At closer observation, I think you'll do poorly.
Why do you say that?
I'll be honest with you, okay? You display a good deal of selfish behavior in the dorm, and you don't act as though you care for people.
Well, that's not what I wanted to hear, but I appreciate your honesty. I went back to my room and cried because he was right. No one had ever been honest enough to confront me on this, and I was determined to change. I started sophomore year, but my brother Larry did not.
I dropped out of school, Dave.
Why?
I wanted to work for a while, save up some money. Francie and I are living together.
Ah, I think you're making a big mistake, Larry. But who am I to give advice? I flunked 3 of my first 4 tests this semester.
Not a good trend, Dave. What seems to be the problem?
Well, the classes are getting tougher, for one thing. Also, I'm not getting enough sleep at night.
Hey, blame the girlfriend.
Yeah, it's hard to say no, isn't it?
Hey, you have to decide what's more important, your girlfriend or your career. I made my choice.
Hey, what did her parents say about you two living together?
They didn't exactly give us their blessings, so I told them where to go.
Not a good trend, Larry.
Hey, it's my life, and I'll live it the way I want to.
Who was I to argue? I was making bad choices myself and feeling guilty for it. Then, a crisis hit. After a day of exploring caves with other dorm students, I developed severe pain and needed emergency surgery. Dwayne came to visit me.
How are you doing, Dave?
Oh, much better. I wish I was in class instead of being in this hospital.
Can I bring you anything? I don't know if I can help you with your classes, but I'll do what I can.
I'm not sure what to do about my classes. I'll probably flunk.
Well, maybe I can get the lecture notes from somebody and bring them to you.
That's a lot to ask, but I'd appreciate it. I think God is punishing me for my immoral life.
God doesn't punish us, Dave. We punish ourselves when we don't live according to His laws.
I'm guilty of that for sure.
Start reading the Bible. It's your heritage. And God will help you see things in a different way.
Yeah, maybe I will.
There's a verse in the Psalms. I think it's the last one in chapter 5 that says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." God loves you, Dave. Don't ever doubt that.
I really appreciate you stopping by, Dwayne. I was feeling kind of down.
When you're well enough, why don't you move into the fraternity house? I'd like to have you as a roommate. I've always liked you, and I think we could get along well together.
Are you sure you can put up with me?
Yeah, I'm sure. Say, what do you hear from your twin brother?
Not much. Larry's got a different job now and travels a lot.
I was selling family portraits, working 10 days in a department store, and then moving on. Well, since I was away from home so much, the relationship with my girlfriend deteriorated.
Hello?
Hi, Dave. Are you back to normal now? Recovered from surgery and all?
I recovered, but my grades didn't. Final exams were a nightmare.
Yeah, you'd better get with the program if you want to get into medical school.
Hey, Dwayne and I are going to be roommates. He'll be a good influence on me.
Mr. Religious?
He's a good friend.
So,
what's happening with you?
Oh, I guess you haven't heard. I kicked my girlfriend out of the apartment.
One thing about you, Larry, is your subtlety.
Hey, she was fooling around with other guys when I was gone.
Must have been a bad scene.
Yeah, that's not the worst of it. Now I find out she's pregnant.
Whoa! How do you know it's yours?
Oh, I don't. But it might be, and I feel responsible for her, so I took her back in.
That's pretty heavy, Larry.
I can't believe I got myself into something like this.
Do the folks know?
Yeah. She told them before I had a chance to. I was really mad about that. She's just trying to manipulate me into marriage.
Are you gonna marry her?
No. But I want her out of my life.
Well, what about the baby?
She can just get an abortion.
Larry, are you sure you want to do that?
Yes.
Well, what if she refuses?
Then she's on her own.
Well, listening to you makes me want to clean up my own act.
I don't know about you, Dave, but my life is not going the way I thought it would.
Same here. My chances of getting into medical school now are slim to none. I wonder what we're doing wrong.
Next week, we'll hear the conclusion of Dave and Larry's story and how they resolve the crisis in their lives. A friend, you don't have to wait until then to learn for yourself the joy of salvation. Jesus came to give you new life. If you would like to receive the gift of life, you're invited to pray with us right now. Lord, I know that I'm lost in my sin, unable to save myself. I believe Jesus died on the cross to purchase my forgiveness. Lord, I want your gift of eternal life. There's nothing I can do to earn this gift. It's your grace alone that saves me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life. Help me to overcome any opposition to my new life in you. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. If you prayed with us in faith, then according to John chapter 1, verse 12, you are now a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Write and tell us the good news so we can rejoice with you and send you some literature to help you walk in faith. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Don't keep Unshackled to yourself. Tell your friends when and how to listen. And please let the manager of this station know that you hope they continue to broadcast Unshackled. This is program number 2455. Heard in the true story of Larry and David Silver were James Snyder, Eric Bradley, Nancy Sellers, Fred Stone, and Kim Rasmussen. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please take a moment to write. Your message is important to us. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. That's all the address you really need. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. We care about the things that trouble you. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone day or night. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.